Category B4, Current Affairs Programme, The Pat Kenny Show.
The loss of a child is painful beyond words. Parents are simply not supposed to bury their children. My next guest has experienced pain like no other, the loss of her children at the hands of their father. On the 29th of July 2013, Sanjeev Chadha murdered both of his sons in Rossbeg in Westport before attempting to take his own life. The bodies of 10-year-old Owen and 5-year-old Rory were recovered in the boot of their father's car after it crashed into a wall. Not long after, Kathleen Chadha was told that her children were dead. Yesterday, Sanjeev Chadha was sentenced to life in prison after he pleaded guilty to murdering Owen and Rory. And Kathleen Chadha is on the line. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
A difficult day in court yesterday, but you were spared a trial and a life sentence automatically followed.
Yes, it just made it a little bit easier. I suppose my one dread at the time had been the thought of him trying to justify in some way what he had done, and listening to that, while I had no doubt that he was likely to be found guilty ultimately, it spared us the extended pain of having to go through a full trial.
How difficult was it for you in court yesterday?
Beyond words. I held very much together. I needed to do justice for my boys, and that's what kept me going, to be honest. That was important, and I needed to be able to get through the day for them, for me, but for them in particular. And I needed to be able to give my own victim impact statement on their behalf. So I held it reasonably well together until the final verdict was given and the sentence passed down. Most difficult, I'd say, short of the day of the funeral, it was probably the most difficult day I've ever had to go through.
Now, people's images of the boys are their images in their last moments, and they're not the images that you want us to hold in our minds of Owen and Rory. So will you tell us about the boys and what they were like?
Oh, they were full of life. They're incredible boys, and I know we all, or most parents, will say that about their children. And we're all biased, but they are special. They were gorgeous boys, and you know, I always said I was going to keep them locked up till they were at least 35. but I think I was on a losing battle already. And quietly confident in Owen's case in particular. I mean, in the photographs, the recent photographs, you'll have seen him with long hair, which was something that he made it very much a decision for himself. And he was very much a boy, but no, he had a lot of confidence in himself and a lot of self-awareness, I suppose, in somebody so young, to feel, no, it didn't matter that he had long hair, and it didn't matter if people thought he was a girl or that he got teased on the pitch, the local pitch, when he was playing hurling or anything like that. It was fine. But they had, and he had so many things that he wanted to do. He just did not know where he was going to stop. I mean, he literally did. I describe, you know, he wanted to be a farmer. And only the last summer of last year, he had said he wanted to be, he wanted to work with my brother Kevin for a week during the summer on the farm. And then, like I said, you know, he did want to be a chef. He wanted to be a hurler. He wanted to be, you know, so many things. And they were bright boys, and Michelle, their headmistress, would have described them as having the full package, and I'm blessed to have been their mother. Rory was just a little imp, again following in Owen's footsteps every which way, and he never ever saw himself as a little brother. He was on a par with Owen in every single way. If you know, whatever Owen was doing, he wanted to be in the middle of it. Indeed, but no, they were just bright, gorgeous, happy boys, and that's the one thing I suppose I have to be grateful for. I have happy memories. I don't have, other than those very, very last moments, and I suppose that were described in very graphic detail. I have happy memories of the boys, and that's important because that's all I have to hold now.
When you look back on that period running up to the awful tragedy, the murder of your two sons, was there anything that you could have spotted, in retrospect? Obviously, if you had spotted anything at the time, you would have done something about it. But in retrospect, because it turns out it was about money, it was about the misappropriation of funds, and you hadn't a clue?
I hadn't a clue. Up to, I had found out approximately 10 days before. But I, you know, I was shocked about that and was, I suppose, trying to come to terms with it. But I know Sanja has apparently spoken about the possibility of a broken home. Yes, it was possible. Of course it was. I wasn't, you know, but I wasn't, I'm not one to make rash decisions. And the boys would have always been my priority. And, I suppose it comes down to, as wrong as it was of what Sanj had done, it was only money, and we would have in some way managed it. Whether our relationship would have survived or not, I don't know, to be honest. And a lot would have depended on how Sanj would have dealt with it, I guess, at the time. But unfortunately, he never gave me the opportunity to... To see.
The business of using that money from community funds to gamble on the stock market. I mean, did you even know that he was into the stock market?
I did, but I didn't see it as a problem or gambling. It didn't impact on our own day-to-day lives at all. It wasn't something that we relied on at all. And I'm not going to, I suppose, play down, you know, in any way what he did, but I worked. I have a good job. I'm very lucky in that respect, and that was what, you know, that's what we relied on. That's what we didn't have brand new cars. We didn't go on foreign holidays, but that was fine. We had, you know, a nice house, a home. You know, the boys were happy. I was more than happy, reluctantly happy to go camping. You know, it didn't have to go on foreign holidays. We were a normal, ordinary family in my eyes. I guess hindsight, yes, is a great thing. And
but there were no red alerts because, that's one of the things you cannot recriminate with yourself over any of this because you didn't have any warning. I mean, that awful day in July of last year, I mean, it was just an ordinary day. There was nothing to distinguish it.
No, not that Sunday at all. What he'd suggested doing was as you know, I mean, yes, as I say, our own relationship at that stage was slightly strained, but we were still living together, we were still talking, we were still, you know, managing, and so there was nothing strange at all in him taking the boys out to go bowling. And while we would have done a lot of things as a family, again, I had taken extended leave for the summer. So we had, you know, we just had 2 weeks. We did a week over in the UK with Sanja's family. We'd, you know, so it wasn't unusual at all for him to be doing what he was doing.
So at what point did you get worried?
I started to wonder when they weren't home about 6, but or about 10 o'clock. But because it was, it was late enough when they were going out. And I did think it was unusual because, you know, the boys, while they didn't go to bed that early, you know, and especially over the summer. But it was 11, I'd say, when I started to really question it, and I had to go, no, you know, in my head, I went, no, I am exaggerating, I'm imagining, I'm whatever. And then I went, drove into Carlow with my brother to see if they were there, and then came home and started doing the rounds of phone calls to see if they were somewhere with friends, and then called the guards just after 1. I suppose at that stage now, I know I don't think it would have made any difference to have called any earlier. And like that, you know, at what point do you do you worry? What, you know?
And the system they now have, the cry alert, that's the Child Rescue Ireland alert. I mean, that was issued, and it is a good system, I suppose.
Absolutely.
And it has led to some good conclusions.
In every other case.
Yeah.
In every other case.
But in this case, it would have been too late, you believe?
It would have been too late. I think no matter what, Sanj had, and he left here with the decision made. I know that now. So no, it wouldn't have. I don't think it would have made any difference. I would need to have been making that alert at, you know, 1 o'clock, and even then, you know, he was in, and I have been over to a Rusbeg, Ballintubber, where the boys died.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have. It wasn't a place that you were going to see the car. So, no, it wouldn't have. In this particular case, it wouldn't have made a difference.
No.
But absolutely, it is something. And I know that, they've learned a lot from last year, and hopefully it will continue to save the lives of children.
You were given the awful news when the crash had happened and he had attempted to take his own life, in which he failed. And then you got the phone call.
Yeah.
And was that Sanjeev himself?
Himself, yeah. Yeah. That was, and I just, I suppose, went hysterical and handed the phone over. Straight away, there was one of the detectives was actually with me at the time, so he took over the call. But and I still didn't believe it was. I was stunned, and I suppose the fact that I was talking to him led me to think, no, he's exaggerating. They couldn't be. They're unconscious, or they're just quiet. Or because if he was alive and able to talk to me, then in my mind at that moment, then they had to be. Should they, you know? All he told me was that they were in the back of the car, and I just thought, well, they're in their car seats. And I think that was, I don't even know the time frame, but it was the longest moments waiting for, as I had thought was going to come through at that stage, confirmation that the boys were okay and I just needed to get to them in hospital. And I think I have strong and vague recollections, really. I don't know what I remember from those moments in many ways. There, some things stand out, and then a lot of it is very fuzzy.
In telling you that the boys were dead, did he at that early stage attempt to rationalise it in any way to give his reasons?
No.
Those reasons, which subsequently emerged, he'd left some notes, seemed to suggest that he figured that your marriage was heading for the rocks, and that the idea of the boys being brought up in what used to be called a broken home, but in a fragmented relationship, was just not something he could contemplate.
Yeah. Which I think, as I said yesterday, just shows the utter, utter selfishness of him.
Yeah.
Because he, even if that had happened, and there was no indication for that, I had not. I had said I didn't know where our relationship was going to go, but I hadn't indicated that I wanted him gone. I had suggested, or we talked about he was going to have to look at work, at the possibility of work, and, you know, we had to look to the future and paying back the money, and that would have involved the possibility of him going to the UK, but that wasn't... Our relationship hadn't broken down in that way. Even if it had, it was of his doing. So, I suppose I was quite angry in the courts myself yesterday as that was read out, because I just thought that there's no justification for what he did on any level.
What about cross-cultural issues, the role of the man, the traditional role, breadwinner, hero of the boys, role model, and so on? He let himself down. This was some sort of rationalisation, which seems daft on the face of it, but that was something that was offered.
No, I don't accept that. I mean, I accept that it's there and it's offered. But I, we would have talked extensively about his role as house husband, essentially. We made a very definite decision after Owen was born that was how we were going to do it. Mm-hmm. Again, after Rory was born, it certainly wasn't something that he, Stange, in any way would have seemed to have had an issue with. I thought he was quite happy and content in his role. And I suppose in some ways that is what he said, which was, you know, the being with the boys and you know, teaching them and all of that. And it worked. It yeah. worked for us. It should have worked. But up until that day, certainly it appeared to be working. And the boys were happy. And having one parent at home, I always felt we were blessed to be able to yeah. do that. It was the ideal situation, and I thought we were very, very lucky to be in a situation or a position to be able
to have one parent at home is terrific, and in a modern relationship it generally can be either frequently the woman, of course, but it can be either, whatever makes economic and social sense.
That's it. It doesn't, you know, I don't think there doesn't have to be stereotypes in this one, and it's whatever works. And it should have worked for us, but unfortunately.
Did you, at any stage in the last desperate year, attempt to talk to Sanjeev yourself or make communication with him in any way?
No.
No.
No, I can't. There's nothing to say.
News Talk 106 to 108.